Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. It's just starting to get to a temperature where I felt like I could take my coat off. And when you get a little bit higher, one of the benefits of being on this little stage is that the heat rises, and it's a little bit warmer here. It's nice, isn't it? People have ever sat on the stage, it's nice. I'm sorry that, you're going, well, it's nice for you. I'm sorry that it's a little bit cold this morning. We did get the heater fixed, but in the fixing, it's reset the timer, so the timer didn't switch on this morning. But it's switched on now, and we're slowly getting warm, okay? So, yeah, I'm sorry about that. We will get the timing right, and it will be warm from now on. It'll be a balmy temperature from now on, I promise you. So this morning, we're starting a new series, and you'll know that one of our key values as a church is Jesus-centered, or go with Jesus, Jesus at the center. And it may seem like a really obvious value, because we're a Christian church, and why wouldn't you put Jesus at the center if you're a Christian church, but it's really important to state it, because it's very easy as followers of Jesus to get involved in all the stuff that comes around being a follower of Jesus, and not actually to pursue him, to pursue who he is. And so I want to start this morning by looking at the practice of prayer. We're going to look over the next few weeks at what prayer is. And I think prayer is one of those things that God's really been speaking to me a lot about. Whenever I talk with leaders, I have the privilege of meeting with a number of different leaders. And one of the key things I keep hearing is God is calling his church back into a simplicity of relationship with the Father. Back on our knees. It's not that strategy and vision isn't important, but if it never, ever trumps just pure relationship, intimacy with the Father. And that's what he's calling me back to. It's what he's calling us as a church back to. I think it's what he's calling his church back to. There's a real sense of the Father saying, I want to reveal who I am to you. I want you to rediscover me again. And I just want to do a little intro to prayer this morning. I'm going to use the Lord's Prayer. We're going to use the Lord's Prayer as the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples to help us understand what Jesus thinks about prayer. But I only got as far as the first line when I was preparing this talk, Our Father. So that's what it's about this morning. I couldn't get beyond that. I had good intentions, but I figured you wouldn't want to be here all day. So I've stayed with Our Father. And hopefully you'll see why I think that is really important to do that. Just before we get into it, I want to read you an extract from a book. I'm reading a really good book by Paul Miller called A Praying Life. And one of the things that we'll do as a church is we'll send out a list of resources and links to things and books that we think would be good. But I'm sure within the congregation, within the churches, you've all got good recommendations for things to do with prayer. But I do want to say that all those things, all those resources, and we will send them out, they aren't the thing. The thing I really want to emphasize is relationship is the thing. Relationship with the Father. You know, all the other things, they are a means to get us to that place of relationship with the Father. So as an example, you know, sometimes people did it today. We kneel down in posture. And we don't kneel down or have different postures in prayer because God goes, oh, right, now you're kneeling, now I'm going to listen to you. Or now you're saying these words, now I'm going to listen to you. We do it more for us. The things that we have around us are creating space, creating the environment that enables us to get into that place with God. He's already there. He's already listening. He's already there with us. All the resources, the techniques, if you like, they're for us, as much as anything, to get our hearts in the right place, to bring us into the right place. But we will send those out. But this is an extract from the book, and I wonder if you recognize yourself in this. With prayer, Paul Miller says, we keep our doubts hidden even from ourselves because we don't want to sound like bad Christians. No reason to add shame to our cynicism, so our hearts shut down. The glib way people talk about prayer often reinforces our cynicism. We end our conversations with, I'll keep you in my prayers. We have a vocabulary of prayer speak, including, I'll lift you up in prayer, and I'll remember you in prayer. Many who use these phrases never get round to praying. Why? Because we don't think prayer makes much difference. Cynicism and glibness are just part of the problem. The most common frustration is the activity of praying itself. We last for about 15 seconds, and then out of nowhere, the day's to-do list pops up, and our minds are off on a tangent. We catch ourselves, and by sheer force of the will, go back to praying. Before we know it, it has happened again. Instead of praying, we're doing a confused mix of wondering and worrying. Then the guilt sets in. Something must be wrong with me. Other Christians don't seem to have this trouble praying. After 5 minutes, we give up saying, I'm no good at this. I might as well get some work done. Now, I don't know how much you identify with that. I certainly identify with some parts of that. But I want, when we talk, when anything we do in this church, if it's not authentic, if it's not real, if it's not as expressing our genuine heart, then it's not worth doing, because that's what God's interested in. He's interested in the real you. He's interested in the real me. He's not interested in some version of ourselves that we think we should be as Christians. He's interested in the reality of who we are. And that is a key fundamental thing about prayer, actually. He wants the real us to come before him. And you can't read the Bible, can you, without seeing all the range of emotions expressed to God. There's the joy, there's the celebration, there's the thanksgiving, but there's the pain, there's the anguish, there's the why are you letting this happen, God? And we have to learn to be a people who are authentic in our walk with God and in our walk with each other and not be people who project a version of ourselves that we think is what we should be or seen as, the reality of who we are. Okay. Most people don't say they are good at prayer. That's okay. We've always got something to learn. But all I'm asking you, as we start this service, this series, is, do you want to go deeper with God? Is your heart open to that deeper place with him? I'm certainly in that place. I'm pursuing him at the moment. And I want to learn how to pray better. I want to learn how to engage with him, because I know that everything has to flow from that place. I know it. And I can't function without that. Is that where you guys are at? All I'm asking you is this invite. Do you want to go deeper with the Father? You may be someone who goes, I'm not very good at prayer, or I get it. I can see how I've got better. But there was always more. Are you wanting the more? Jesus taught on prayer. So I'm going to read from Luke 11. And it's from verse 1 in Luke 11. Familiar words. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Let's just stop there. Just remember. I just want us to remember again how many times Jesus, in the busyness of life, went away to pray with his Father. He knew the importance of relationship with the Father. Just remind ourselves how important that was to him. Remind ourselves that sometimes he stopped praying for people and doing miracles with people so that he could go off and be with the Father. He left the crowds and went to be with the Father. This was his rhythm. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Do you know, I don't think there was any other thing that the disciples asked Jesus to do. Not teach us how to do miracles. Not teach us how to teach well. It's the only thing we have, the only record we have of them asking him to teach them to do something. And what they chose to do was ask him to teach them to pray. Why was that? What had they seen in the life of Jesus, in his prayer life, that they thought that is what we need to learn? What had they seen? And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on the journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed, but I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, we're going to keep coming back to this. I just want to remind you that I'm not going to go into much depth into that today. I got stuck on the first line, but I think it's really important, and hopefully you will see why. It is the only thing that we know that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them. Why is that? Why is that true? Just a little bit of background about the Lord's Prayer. Rabbis, Jesus was a rabbi, a teacher. Rabbis gathered disciples. Jesus wasn't the only one. I'm sure you know this. In the time in which Jesus lived, there were many, many Jewish teachers, and they had their own followers. They had their own ways of teaching their groups of disciples. And one of the things that the rabbi would do was give his disciples a prayer. And the prayer usually reflected something of the truths that rabbi believed in, something that they wanted their disciples to know. So when Jesus gives his disciples this prayer, he is saying, this is what I'm about. This is what matters to me. This is what matters to my followers. So when you look at the Lord's Prayer, it's almost like a creed, like we use creeds today to say, this is what is true about being a follower of Jesus. The Lord's Prayer is, in one sense, one of the earliest creeds that tells us this is what is important about being a follower of Jesus. Jesus gives them this prayer. It was probably adopted from a similar Hebrew prayer that was already in existence, which was called the Kaddish. And he took that prayer, a prayer that they would have been familiar with, his followers, and he changes it. He adds his own flavor to it. He adds his own touch to it to reflect who he is. There are words in the Kaddish which say things like, glorified and sanctified be God's name. May he establish his kingdom in your lifetime and during your days. You can hear the similarities with what Jesus did with the Lord's Prayer. May his great name be blessed forever. So Jesus flows in continuity with this Jewish tradition that the disciples would have already been familiar with. But he brings in his changes that reflect who he is and importantly reflect who God is. Remember, we've seen Jesus, we see the Father. We know who he is. In about 35 words, we get an understanding of what is important to God. And this is the key thing I want us to look at today. Nowhere in Scripture, in Hebrew prayers, was there an example of a personal God. It was always to God, this holy God. And so for Jesus to start his prayer, the first line of this mandate for who he was and what he was about, with Father. And you hopefully have heard this said before as well. It wasn't the word that was used was Abba. The word a child would use to their parent, Father, Daddy. For Jesus to start his prayer with that was saying something very, very big in the Jewish world. That this was a personal God. This was a God you could come into relationship with like a child can come with their parent. And say, Daddy God, who is in heaven. Now, we're used to this. We're used to going, Our Father. We're used to talking about Father God. And we forget sometimes just how radical this was for Jesus to say this. And that's what I want to explore. Because This is the premise for me for prayer. If we never get the fatherhood of God and the invite into intimate relationship with him, we will not get what prayer is about. If we don't understand that first line of our father, our daddy, we will not get what prayer is about, what the invite is from God to prayer. It's deeply personal. There's a quote from Tozer, A.W. Tozer. I think that's the next slide, Brian, please. Which he asked this question: what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. I wonder just in quiet now, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about God? Because it reflects what we believe about him. What's the first thing that comes into your mind when you think about God? It matters what we think. There's a few cartoons that I've found that just, if you just put the first cartoon up, Brian, please. There's one image of God, isn't it? Bruce Almighty. Can you go back to that one before, please, Brian? Thank you. Bruce Almighty, Morgan Freeman portraying God. You may know that film. I quite liked the God he portrayed. I thought it was quite nice. But this is just to point out that we will watch films. We will get an understanding of who God is from many different things in life. And it will shape our vision and understanding of God. And one of the things we're doing today is just reminding ourselves what Scripture says, what Jesus says about God as our Father, as our Daddy God. The next one, please, Brian. This is a Far Side cartoon, if you can't read it, the button that God has his finger over is Smite. And this is God at his computer. It's funny, but that is many people's image of God, that he's waiting to get them. I was talking to someone last week who calls himself an atheist, and really had a good conversation with him. But he said to me, the reason he's an atheist is because of the school he went to, the religious school he went to, that was just horrible experience for him. My mum's the same. And my mum's a Catholic school. This is not a thing about Catholicism. We in the evangelical charismatic tradition can hold our hands up as much in the way that we've hurt people. So this is not a thing about Catholicism. It's about how religion can be painful and hurt people. But my mum would talk about the evil nuns at the school who hit her. And this was the image of God that they were portraying to my mum. Fortunately, my mum knows Jesus. She's got a restored view of who God is, which is great. But there was a journey for her. Many of you will have things that have happened, or vision, images of God that have been showed to you that are not real, and not real, that are not true, that are not biblical. And it's perfectly all right to work those through, and it's perfectly all right to acknowledge those. And I just want to say it's hard for people sometimes to get the right image of God because of things that have happened to them. The next slide is another example. Some God will love you well. Why did you do this? And maybe you've been in that place before. Maybe you're in that place now. Why, God, do you let these things happen? They're all really valid questions on their own. It's really important that we acknowledge that, and that we all come with different things that have happened, different ways that we've been taught about God that may be negative and maybe obscure who God really is. But the thing I want to say today is God is a gentle father who wants to invite us into relationship with him, who loves us more than anything, and he will be gentle with us as we come into relationship with him. And prayer is a key way that we learn to do that we learn to hear who he is and his heart for us. And that's why it's really important, I think, that we talk about our Father today. Jesus, by doing this, is calibrating our image of God by saying our Father. It's a God who wants relationship, a God who is Father. And if you think about it, if we're calling him Father, then we are his sons and his daughters. Now, we know this, but we don't always settle it within our hearts. We are his sons and daughters. He looks at us in that manner. There's that beautiful verse in Zephaniah 3:16, he rejoices over us with singing. And I always think of a parent singing over their child, you know, just rejoicing over them. He rejoices over us with singing. He is that sort of a father. Paul Miller again says, we need to know what good prayer looks like and feels like in order to develop a praying life. So I just want to explore a little bit about that. What does good prayer feel like and look like in the context of God, our Father, and relationship? Okay, that's the context that we're trying to explore and just dig into this morning. One example he uses is that the praying life, this is Paul Miller, feels like eating food with good friends. I love that image. I get it. Some of my favorite times are when you're with a group of friends or family who you just can be yourself with, and you sit around a table and you eat, and the conversation, there's no agenda, you just are enjoying being with those people. These times for me have the feel of heaven to them. Now, it might sound really grandiose, but as I've got older, I've started to, like, one of my favorite things was when the kids got together with their cousins, to step back and just watch them round the table enjoy being with each other. And they've got this mixture of banter and let's talk about the latest meme. And then we're very fortunate that all our kids and the cousins, they all follow Jesus. And then they'd be talking a bit about Jesus, and then they'd be back to the latest meme. But I love just standing away from them and just watching this. For me, that is a picture of heaven, sitting around the table, enjoying being with each other, relationship, intimacy. There's something sacred about those times. When Jesus describes the intimacy that he wants with you and me, he talks about us joining him for food. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with them, and they with me. Good prayer feels like a mealtime with family or with good friends because it's about relationship. It's intimate and it hints at eternity. In the same way as when we sit around a table with family or friends, we don't particularly think about using the right words. or the right form, we just enjoy being with each other. Our focus is not on the words we use, the way we do it. Our focus is on the people we're with. The same with prayer with God. It's not about the way we do it, the words we use, the correct words or the wrong words. It's about Him, being with Him, relationship with Him. Prayer, then, before anything else, is about relationship. Sons and daughters enjoying being with Father God, Abba Father, our Father. Prayer is the medium through which we experience and connect to God. That's the key headline. Listening, laughter, intimacy, relationship. This is what Father God wants for you and me. And if we don't understand that about prayer, and that's fine if we have other, like I say, there's other things that may have helped us, that may have stopped us grasping what prayer is about. That is His invite to you and me. And sometimes it's just a case of us settling in our hearts, God, would you show me that because I don't get it? I've never really understood prayer that way. I've never really understood relationship with you that way. If that's you, that's fine to say that prayer. Maybe you do get that, but you want deeper relationship with Him. Then say that in your heart. Say, Lord, teach me how to pray, just like the disciples did to Jesus. Teach me how to pray. Teach me how to go deeper with you. That's the invite of the journey that we're doing as a church, the invite into the journey that we're doing as a church, to go deeper with Him in relationship and intimacy. The other thing I want to just highlight is about authenticity, and I've already kind of hinted at this a little bit. Authenticity in who we are, that we bring the fullness of who we are to God, and that is what pleases Him. It pleases Him when we come with the fullness of who we are, not just the things that are palatable for God or the things that are right to bring before God, but the fullness of who we are. When my children were babies, before they were able to speak, before they were able to talk to me, I loved just being with them. You know, babies can't talk right from the beginning, but you still enjoy being with them, holding them. As they learn to speak and grow up, that wanting to be with them never changes, but now we have the medium of language to enjoy being with each other, but it's still about being with each other. Language just enables a different variety of it, a different shade of being with each other. Then they learn to walk, so you can go places with them, but it's still about being with your children. It always starts with that, with God. It's about being with Him. And sometimes silence is the best being with God. It's not about the words we use or the things we do. It's about being with Him. It's about relationship. It's all built on the foundation of enjoying being with each other. As I say, we're going to unpack more of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus gave us, in future weeks, but this is the key thing for us. If we're going to go forward, we must settle in our hearts this idea of relationship that He's inviting us into. Intimate relationship is honest. If it's real relationship, it needs to be honest and authentic. I wonder about friendship. If you thought about the friendships that you have, do you have those friendships where you can just be yourself? You can be real and honest. One of the things I've really valued, and I've been really grateful to God for, has been some of the friendships I've made as a church leader. Sometimes, in any world probably, we there's a danger, isn't it, that we present ourselves the way we think we want to be perceived. And the church leader world can be a little bit isolating and a little bit lonely sometimes, because there's people kind of all pretending to be, I don't know, sometimes you can just get people who are talking about things and you think, we're not being real here with each other, we're saying the things that you need to say as a church leader, you know, so that people can think you're actually okay and you're not falling away or something like that, you know, you've got to... And I'm so thankful for the friendships I've got with some church leaders in the city who are just real, honest, authentic. We can just say, look, I'm struggling with this. And it's not about trying to prove that you're leading the better church or you're the better church leader. It's just about being real and honest. Do you have those people in your lives where you can just be yourself and honest and authentic with and say, I've got these doubts. I don't get this. Oh, I struggle with prayer. Can you help me? Do you have those places? Those really are important. That's why one of our key values, which we're not going to talk about today, is go together. Because sometimes, often, we need each other. And we'll carry each other sometimes. But we need authentic, real, honest each other, not pretend each other, not pretend Christian. I value friendships where I can be honest, where I can celebrate and laugh, where I can share my sorrows and doubts and express my frustrations, where I can talk about my weaknesses and know that I'm safe to do so. And God invites us into that sort of relationship as well, through each other and with Him in prayer. Authentic relationship where we can be honest about ourselves with Him. He loves us to be real with Him. And again, we need to have that image of a child coming to their father, Abba. Abba, Father, our Father. The other day, there's a lot of illustrations about my children today, but it's God really speaks to me through these relationships. And it's the pitfall of being a pastor's kid, is that you're going to be used as a sermon illustration a lot. Matt was going to go back to university, and he'd been with us over Christmas. You know, all the kids had come home, he'd been with us over Christmas, and he was just about to head back. And the night before he was going to head back, I was really tired, and I was just about to go to bed. I'd got into bed, in fact, and I was just putting my head on the pillow. And you know those nights where you know you're going to be off in about 10 seconds? It was one of those nights. You know, I was just feeling, I'm going to be not having any trouble sleeping tonight. And Matt walked into the bedroom, and he wanted to talk. And I was like, I just need to go to sleep. But then I remembered how precious it is to have your child talk to you about how they're feeling and what they're thinking. And he stayed in the room, I don't know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, something like that, talking. And I had to make myself sit up and wait. But I really felt God say to me, this is like me and you. I love to hear you talk to me and just tell me. And all Matt wanted to do was just talk through what the next stage of uni is going to be like when he goes back to Birmingham, what he's worried about, what he's looking forward to. He just wanted to talk. And I needed to listen. And God reminded me, this is him. This is just like him. And I don't want to give the impression it was an ordeal. Once I'd woken myself up, I was reminded, this is precious. This is precious time to hear my child share their heart. Now that's an image of God with you and me. When we share our hearts, whatever is going on, that is precious time with Father God. He loves it when we share our hearts with him. Even if he already knows what our hearts are, and we could get into lots of theological questions of why do we need to talk to God when he already knows what we want and all that stuff. Well, if that's missing the point. He wants relationship. I know what my kids want, but I love it when they come to talk to me and ask me. That's what Father God is like for you and me. He never gets tired. He's never there going, oh, I just need to go to sleep. He's never tired. He's always there waiting for you and me to come and talk to him. That's why when we come later on into the Lord's Prayer and we come to confession, that's why confession is so important. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Sometimes confession is portrayed as a bit of a downer, you know, woe is me, a miserable sinner. And some of our liturgy in the Anglican Church doesn't help, right? Because it says exactly that, woe is me, a miserable sinner. And yes, there's truth in that. But it can, if we're not careful, portray this element of grovel before God when it's not that image of God. God is saying, confession, asking for forgiveness before God, what it's doing is it's reversing the curse of Genesis. You know where God walked in the cool of the day with Adam? And it said that Adam had that intimate relationship with the Father. And there's that cry in Genesis, isn't there, where suddenly Adam and Eve are, humanity is aware of their nakedness and aware of their shame, and they cover themselves and they hide from God. And there's that cry of God the Father in the garden, Adam, where are you? That's an anguish cry of a father who is missing relationship with his children. And confession and learning to be authentic before God is allowing Jesus to come in and reverse the curse of the garden, to come back into intimacy with the Father. That's what that's about. David, a man after God's heart, King David, he did some pretty wrong stuff, didn't he? How was he called a man after God's heart when he did what he did? He committed adultery, he killed people. How is he a man after God's heart? He learned to confess. It doesn't justify what he did, but he learned to come before his Father God, and he knew the need for him to get right with him. And we've got his whole prayer journal when you read the Psalms of how he did that and what his heart was doing. He learned to confess quickly before God to reverse the curse, the separation that sin brings between you and me and God, and come back into his presence, because that's what it's about. Jesus has done everything to enable us to be in intimate relationship with him. That's why it's such an important part of the Lord's Prayer. But we don't always go there because we think that we're afraid to say who we really are. We're afraid to say what is really going on in our hearts, the sin that's in our hearts. Where are you, Adam? We should run to confession and fear keeping up appearances. We should have a refusal to hide. Are you tempted to hide behind who you really are? I always remember a title of a book, a Christian book, Why Am I Afraid to Say Who I Really Am? And we do. Father God is not afraid of anything. He's big enough for us to come as we are. And as we learn to do that with him and with each other, we will go deeper with him in relationship. That's what he wants. Picture of a God, not with his finger over a button ready to smite us as soon as we share what's going on, as if he didn't know already. Picture a God who is standing on a hill with his arms out wide, waiting for the son or daughter to run back into his arms, covered in pig, but still not bothered about that, but wrapping his arms around you. So what does prayer feel like? It feels like a meal around a table with good friends and family. Authentic, real, honest conversation. And it feels like a place of safety and of welcome where we can be truly honest without fear. Paul Miller in his book has this phrase which I really like, come messy. Come to God messy. God cheers when we come to him with our wobbling, unsteady prayers. Jesus does not say, come to me all you have learned how to concentrate in prayer, whose minds no longer wander, and I will give you rest. Jesus opens his arms to his needy children and says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The criteria for coming to Jesus is weariness. Come overwhelmed with life. Come with your wandering mind. Come messy. Don't try to get the prayer right. Just tell God where you are and what's on your mind. That's what little children do. They come as they are. This is so important. If we don't grasp this key understanding about prayer, we will not grow in our relationship with God. We don't want to be like the Pharisees, who rarely told Jesus what they were thinking. And Jesus accused them of being hypocrites, masked actors with two faces. They weren't being real, and they didn't like little children, which is telling. They were indignant when the little children poured into the temple after Jesus had cleansed it and began worshipping him. And then Jesus replied, quoting Psalm 8, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise. There's something about coming like a child. And it goes back to that first line of the prayer, Abba, Daddy, Father, come like a child to the Father God. That's one of the reasons why I love the culture that we're trying to create here at Philly, and it's Sam Parker and the children's team and Amanda, particularly, who are leading on this, where we have a place where children can run about. It's not just, I think it's a win-win. It's messy, it's noisy sometimes, I know that. But our children come and they feel like they can be free here, and we get to learn from them as they're in their freedom of worship. You know, you often hear us say this. Hopefully you'll hear me say it to the children. I love the fact that you're here and you're worshiping because you're leading us in worship and praise. There was someone at the back last week who talked to me, who's from a Muslim background, and he pointed this out to me. He said, in my tradition, children are told to shut up. They would not be allowed. And the thing that struck him most about our church is that children have the freedom to express themselves. If you were here last week, we had them leading us in the God Suit song. You remember? They were standing on the stage leading us in the God Suit song. If you haven't seen it, watch it back on YouTube. It's great. And that was the thing that struck him, the freedom that we give to children. Now, there is something very biblical and reflects God's heart there, and something that we're learning about in prayer here. Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. So, can I invite you on this journey of going deeper with Father God, discovering more of who He is as we explore our prayer life together? This is the call of God, I think, as I've already said, on me, on our church, and it's the invite for us in this season. It's why a lot of our evening service times, please do come at 7 p.m., are going to be in the prayer room this season, where we'll use the prayer stations. If you haven't seen it yet, Sam Parker set up prayer stations, and we're going to have some worship, and we're going to just pray. We're going to do it. We're going to spend time praying. So come along to those if you can. And if you're a community that wants to use that room, please do. We'd love our communities to come and spend time praying in that room. So let's come as we are, children in our Father's arms. I think there's a worship song that says that, isn't it? We're children in our Father's arms, calling out your name. Let's come as we are. This is the headline for prayer before we think about anything else. And we will, but this is the headline. Abba Father, Daddy Father, a God who wants relationship, real relationship, authentic relationship with His sons and daughters. Coming as we are. Recognizing He's good and He's for us and He stands with His arms open wide, waking to take us and to wrap His arms around us deeper. That is the headline. So let's just pause. Maybe just in the quiet, you'd like to say something to Father God now about where your heart is at. And please be honest with Him. Just say, I tried this yesterday. I sat in my front room and I just poured out my heart to Him and I was just honest about what I'm thinking. There's lots of good, there was lots of grief that I said to Him, there's some anxiety that I said to Him. And there was some real thankfulness to say to Him, but I was trying to be honest, so can I encourage you, just in this moment, this short time we've got, just be honest with God. What do you want to say to Father God this morning? So, Heavenly Father, would you teach us how to pray? We long for more of you. Would you take us deeper into relationship with you? Help us to learn from each other where we are in a church with people who have lots of different experiences of prayer. Help us to learn from each other and to teach each other and to encourage each other in prayer. But Lord, more than anything, would you capture our hearts once again? Remind us of who you are as a good Father and who we are as your precious children. We ask this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.